Aloha, North Kohala. This is KNKR LP 96.1 FM Kohala. It's Thursday, February 16th, and the time is now exactly 11 a.m. I'm Holly Allgood. Welcome to Eco Talk. Our topic today is the North Kohala Community Resource Center, and our special guest is Christine Richardson. Christine is the executive director of the North Kohala Community Resource Center. She has a degree in human service advocacy and was the clinic manager for North Kohala's Native Hawaiian Health Research Project for 5 years. She has considerable experience in providing grassroots service to residents in our community, and she's managed large projects and accomplished important community-related goals. As a professional RN, she has served Kohala Home Health Care and Kohala Hospital and is an on-call nurse for the North Hawaii Hospice. She completed a Certificate of Professional Development in Nonprofit Management from Kapi'olani Community College, and she's lived in Kohala since 1994. Christine, welcome to Eco Talk, and thanks for being here today.
Aloha, Holly. Thank you. It's really nice to be here.
Oh, we're so glad you're here. And Isla Allgood is also joining us today doing sound engineering. Thank you, Isla.
Can you say something?
I sure can. Okay.
So, Christine, tell us, what is the North Kohala Community Resource Center and what is its purpose?
Well, that's a very easy answer. The North Kohala Community Resource Center, or the Resource Center as we call it most of the time because it's such a long name, is a 15-year-old nonprofit, and our mission is to increase the number of successful community improvement projects in North Kohala. And we meet our mission by providing education, training, hand-holding, planning, to help people plan their projects to be successful. We have been operating, as I say, for 15 years, and we act as a fiscal sponsor, which is a big term that not everybody understands, so we have translated that to bridges to funding. We help people find foundation grants and donors that want to support their project. And by having the foundations and the donors come through a legal federal nonprofit organization, those people receive the tax deduction. And that's been the key in how we've been able to find so much money for so many initiatives.
So tell us, what is the history of the Resource Center?
Well, I could spend the whole hour talking about the history.
Give us the highlights.
I'll try to. You know, when you go to our website, northkohala.org, we have a wonderful little PDF that Bob Martin and I wrote, which is the first 8 years of the history. So if you really want the details, it's a really fun little document to read. But essentially, in 2001 and 2002, a group of community volunteers in this town, like Lonnie Bowman, Nani Svensson, Fran Woolard, and Bob Martin, sat down and talked about creating a nonprofit that would help this community. And what they invented was this fiscal sponsorship, broad-based organization. And they started out with about 5 projects. And as Bob likes to say, his wife said, well, when you finish with those projects, then what are you going to do? Well, 171 projects later, we are still sponsoring community initiatives. Currently, we have about 85 projects.
And can you say how the Resource Center contributes to the sustainability of the community?
Well, that, again, is a big answer. I thought a lot about that question, and I think the best way I could answer that is we support initiatives that will be long-lasting, and they will contribute to the health of the community. And the health of the community I use in a very broad sense. We actually wrote a proposal to help support the center itself recently, and we looked into what does the quality of life mean, and the Hawaii State Department of Education defined it under 6 domains, and it's health, education, housing, transportation, economic development, agriculture, and every one of those categories we have definitely contributed to by helping people in those areas do good things for Kohala.
And what is your metric for whether or not a project will do good in Kohala?
That's a great question, and I've been asked that many times. I think that one piece of the magic is the actual project organizer. And these are the people that walk in the door every week of the year in our office and say, I want to fill in the blank. And we sit with them and we talk with them about why they think the community needs this project. And we help them write a one-page application which goes before the board. And then the board decides if it meets our mission with a 9-point criteria. But really, the magic is the organizer, because they're the person with the passion. And they're the one with the idea. And they're the one that needs sometimes ideas and support and other volunteers to make it happen. And then the other part of the magic is our formula for helping them find funding. And over the years now, I have become, and my staff has become, experts in where foundation grants sit, what donors like to support what initiatives. And so there's the other magic is our expertise in not only finding the money, but helping people plan thoughtfully and successfully.
So it's my understanding that this radio station, KNKR, is actually a project under the center. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I sure can. KNKR is a great project, and we worked with the wonderful startup team of Carl Tubman, David Ibrahimi, Bob Martin, who had a big dream for a radio station here for a very long time. In fact, when we were very young, 03, 04, and I had just come on board, there was an opportunity for an FM license, and this same crowd tried to get it and were not successful. So fast forward to 2013, there was another opportunity for a low-power FM station in this area, and they really went to work and made it happen. But they needed a nonprofit to hold the license. And so the Resource Center, with special approval from the board, made the decision to help this project by being the holder of the license. And besides helping them find all the funding that has built this radio station, that is our relationship. We in no way have anything to do with management or team or the running of the station. And I often compare that to our little Kohala Mountain News, which we sponsored as a startup, I want to say in 07, and they recently have broken their project status with us because they have learned how to be completely sustainable. And I believe what will happen here at the radio station is that in a few more years, the radio station will become its own nonprofit, and it will be able to break away from the Resource Center and be their own freestanding little, just like NPR, HPR, their own little KNKR. So that's a great example of how we incubate young nonprofits and new projects in town that will spring off on their own.
So that's a beautiful example. And I'm wondering if you can say more about how you know when somebody's ready to leave the nest, so to speak,
right,
and become their own
right,
cut off from your organization.
Right. Sometimes we say it's sending the kids off to college. You know, it's really up to the team. It's up to the project. Another really great example is the Hawaii Wildlife Center, which is their own freestanding nonprofit in our beloved North Kohala. And they came to, Linda Elliott came to me and said, I'm going to build this and I need your help. And so we did a big startup with her. And as soon as she got her first big state grant in aid, she was ready to go off on her own. She wanted her own income streams. She didn't want to compete with our other projects for money. And she had a very clear path, and she was very much a statewide initiative. So again, I think it's the project organizers that tell me when they're ready to step away.
I'm wondering if you have any personal stories that you'd like to share about. It sounds like this has been quite an experience for you, taking it from a small organization to now having managed over 170 projects.
Right. Yes, I have many. I never thought that I would be sitting here 15 years later talking about an organization that was really cutting edge and really out of the box. When we first developed this group statewide, people said, you'll never make it. It'll never, and especially in a rural area. It's turned out to be a perfect model for rural support. And the Hawaii Community Foundation talks to me a lot now about teaching other rural communities how to do this, because it's a great way to help a lot of different things in a rural area. Some of my heart stories are definitely the Wildlife Center. I learned a lot from Linda, and that was the first big project we ever did. I learned how to do a grant and aid from the state with the help of Dwight Takamine, and really launched that beautiful initiative that is really successful today. Day to day, I love all the projects related to our children and to the keiki. We've been able to integrate many programs into the public schools that have given the children much broader exposure to cultural projects and initiatives. We've been able to, one of my heart favorites is we've been able to keep yoga in the elementary school for 9 years now. So kids that are in high school have had yoga since kindergarten. That's very unusual in the Hawaii State Public School Systems. Anything for the kids. It's so easy. It's so easy to fund because everybody wants to help our children.
Well, and as you say, I think these projects, if they've been over time like that, it's going to have a much bigger impact on the community. If you have yoga for 9 years,
that's right.
The kids are going to get better and better at it, where right. instead of a short-term thing. So I'm very anxious to hear more about what... what keeps you there?
I've had a lot of fun. I've had a lot of blood, sweat, and tears and low moments, but it is such an unusual job. And when the group of organizers who started the organization approached me to consider training to be an executive director, I laughed. I said, I'm a nurse. I'm not crazy about computers. I know nothing about accounting. Well, that never stopped Bob Martin, my great teacher, mentor, and dear friend. They said, well, we have a grant, and we're going to send you to nonprofit school. So I went to the Kapi'olani Community College Certificate of Nonprofit Management 1 weekend a month for a year. And it was really a soup to nuts training to understand all the basic pieces of running a nonprofit, and I liked it and I enjoyed it, and I met a lot of great people in the sector. And then we just started having success. I am not in any sense a professional writer, but I enjoy writing, and that's been a big part of it, is writing proposals, editing other people's proposals. And I also enjoy talking to people and making things happen. So I'm still stunned that I'm sitting at the chair 15 years later, but I'm so proud. And I think that one of the other really tying reasons for me there is that I have always had a very vibrant and dynamic board of directors, and they are the heart and the spine in the organization. They have stood by me in the toughest of times, and they have really held me up at our greatest moments. So it's another great example of a healthy nonprofit, because I have such a supportive board, and they're all volunteers.
Well, you mentioned that this is a unique model that people didn't think would survive. Could you tell us what makes it unique?
Right. Well, that mushy word, fiscal sponsorship, is a concept nationally in the nonprofit sector. But nobody in Hawaii has an organization that does fiscal sponsorship full time. Now, some nonprofits, they'll fiscally sponsor a certain effort in their community, but they have to stick with their mission and their program and what they do. But we do fiscal sponsorship full time. And what we've shown is that if you follow the model correctly, the way you manage funds, the way you manage money, the way you report money, it's very effective and it really works. And one example, one of the basic tenets of the organization is that when we receive $5,000 for a project, we immediately give that money to the project. And then they pay us an 8% fee for all of the benefits they have of having a nonprofit, take care of all their tax issues for filing as a nonprofit, for working with their donors and letters and acknowledgments. So nobody else in the whole state does this. And again, when they first started it, everybody laughed. And now the Hawaii Community Foundation, which is the 10th largest community foundation in the country, sings our praises and sends people to us to talk to us about it all the time.
We'll hear more from Christine Richardson in a moment. You're listening to KNKR LP 96.1 FM Kohala. Today is Thursday, February 16th, and the time is now 11:15 a.m.
This is Kathy B. and Cooking with Jazz, a delicious combination of song, flavor, and inspiration. We'll be listening to some early jazz from the 30s, 40s, and 50s, big band greats like Duke Ellington and Count Basie. Then I'm going to blend in some Ella Fitzgerald, Frank Sinatra, and some Ray Charles. This dinnertime show is going to demonstrate my love of cooking and kitchen wisdom. So tune in to me on Wednesday nights at 6 to 8 on KNKR LP Kohala.
KNKR 96.1 FM is a listener-supported, non-commercial, non-profit, community radio station in partnership with the Kohala High and Middle Schools. We broadcast exclusively to North Kohala on Hawaii Island. KNKR reflects the North Kohala community by offering programming by a wide variety of local volunteers. We encourage cultural diversity and provide a platform for creative expression. KNKR promotes and broadcasts local community activities and events and presents local emergency broadcasting for the community. Our mission is to provide programming that attracts sufficient listener support to keep KNKR on the air. For more information on KNKR, including our schedule and calendar of events, or to apply to become a volunteer or a DJ, go to www.knkr.org.
Aloha, North Kohala. This is KNKR LP 96.1 FM Kohala. It's Thursday, February 16th, and you're listening to Eco Talk. I'm Holly Allgood. Our topic today is the North Kohala Community Resource Center, and our special guest is Christine Richardson. I want to remind everyone that if you have any questions or comments for Christine, you can call us at 884-KNKR or 884-5657. And I also want to remind you that the opinions, beliefs, and viewpoints expressed by the various hosts on KNKR 96.1 FM do not necessarily reflect the opinions, beliefs, and viewpoints of Kohala Radio. Okay, Christine, back to you.
Hi there.
So can you tell us, so who supports the North Kohala Resource Center? Who's sending in those checks?
That's a great question, and it also is a great opportunity for me to extend my deepest mahalo and gratitude to the community of North Kohala. North Kohala has about 1,800 households. I would say easily 400 to 500 of those households send a check, large or small, every year to keep our doors open. We try to diversify ways to support our operations with an annual appeal and a welcome center, which we can talk about in a little while, that generates some money for us. And then we ourselves go after operational grants. And we probably get about $50,000 a year in operational grants that we write proposals about what we're doing and why we're good at it and why we deserve funding. It's very difficult to raise the money to support the center. We have 3 staff, 2 part-time and I'm full-time, and a roster of at least a dozen regular volunteers who work with us every week. While I'm on the air, I said I'd give a big shout out to my administrative assistant, Gucci Rivera, that everybody loves, who has been with me for over 10 years at my side. I don't know what I'd do without her. We love you, Gucci. And then it happens today that Hazel Troshi is our Welcome Center volunteer, and I know she's listening as well. And we love you, Hazel, and you epitomize volunteerism in Kohala. So the families of the community. Some major donors really help us out a lot. And then our program service fees, that 8% I talked about earlier, that contributes about $25,000 a year, and that's the project's paying us for our services. So we make a quilt of how we keep the doors open. But I often tell people, of all the projects I fund, operations are the hardest, because I think it's really hard for the community to understand what it is we actually do every day. So this opportunity to talk on the radio is great. Really appreciate it.
You've been doing this for 15 years. Mm-hmm. Do you ever get any surprises about new money coming in?
Yes. Yes. There are people statewide who look at us and watch us, or they see an initiative we're supporting, and they call me up and they help us out. And we're very blessed to have some families in this community who are extremely generous and get what we do.
Do you ever get funding from outside of the state?
Yes, we do. The other shout out that I need to make is to Megan Solis, who is currently sipping a pina colada in Mexico right now on a well-earned vacation. But Megan came on board with us about 4 years ago, and she is an extremely talented writer, creative writer, and proposal writer, and researcher. So she has always got our search engines looking for money for projects and for us. And 2 years ago, she saw a contest for Tom's of Maine, you know, Tom's toothpaste, for nonprofits to compete for a month with submitting a daily message to them. And there would be one nonprofit in every state of the union. It was called 50 States for Good. And we got the State of Hawaii award from Tom's of Maine, and it was $20,000.
Wow.
So, yes, and that's all the way in Maine, and that's
that wasn't
the furthest away from Hawaii.
Not just in tubes of toothpaste,
no,
either.
Not at all. Not at all. So we do get funding from the mainland, certainly for many of our projects, because we're always looking at foundations that care about efforts in Hawaii, and we have a very sophisticated grant search engine that we use, and that is just an endless source of resources. And Megan is very, very good at that research.
Well, can you tell us, are projects ever dropped?
You know, we've never used that word. Sometimes projects just don't get off the ground, and it could be because the organizer is too busy with other activities, or that the project wasn't realistic enough, or the group ran out of steam, or they changed direction. So the term that we use is sunset. If a project doesn't complete its goals, it just goes into the sunset. So it's a very small percentage of our projects. I would say less than 10% are sunsetted. And then, for instance, this year we completed 6 projects, some of which had been with us for a long time, and like the newspaper went off on its own. So, and then the other sort of midstream are the projects that will be with us forever, like KCAA and Koki Coalition. And
what is KCAA?
KCAA is the Kohala Community Athletic Association. That is a 35-year-old, all-volunteer run by parents for after-school athletic training for kids, the little kids, t-ball, baseball, softball, all these really great outside sports. And the parents are the coaches, and the parents are the organizers. Wonderful, loving shout-out to Shiro Takata, who has been a tremendous supporter and caring elder around the KCA program. So they were running on their own steam before we ever were invented. But they came to us right away, and with our partnership with them, we have really kept that program well-funded, so the parents on out there are always asking for contributions. We have found really nice community chest grants, that like Rotary and Young Brothers, that really keep that program going.
And I'm wondering what do you like best about what you do?
Oh, the people.
The people.
Yeah, the project organizers. They're just the greatest people. I mean, I once in a while I say to people, can you imagine you work in a place where people walk in every week and say they want to do something great for your community? I mean, does it get any better than that?
So what's your advice to those people? Because I'm sure we have listeners out there thinking, well, maybe this is my opportunity. Here's something I always wanted to do in our community to make it better. What do you say to that person who walks through the door with that question?
We say, we can't talk to you right now, but if you make an appointment, we'll sit. And if I can, I sit right down and say, tell me what you have in your mind. And sometimes people want to do things that are already going on. And so a sort of a subset of what we didn't realize we would do that we do all the time is network. Well, why don't you go talk to so-and-so, and they may be able to fold that into their ongoing project. But if it's something new, the system right now is that who's ever in the office will greet them and explain, and then we like to have a further appointment where we explain to them what do we do and help them understand what our role is, where it begins and where it ends. And Megan now does the intakes on these projects and teaches them how to write a one-page application to the board. Because again, the board okays all the projects. Me and my team, we do not approve any projects. We do what the board tells us to do. So it's a lovely process whereby a board of about 8 or 9 folks review these applications. They talk about them. Can that person really do this? Do you know who this person is? And most of the time now, after they've worked with us for a couple of weeks, we know if it's going to have legs or not. And the board usually just says, have at it. Give it a go.
So tell us about the projects.
Oh, boy. Well, there's so many. I did bring some notes. You know, I think in light of this, sort of the theme of this radio program, that I thought it would be worth talking about one of our categories of projects, which is agriculture. And we have done a lot of work in the broad ag area, from incubating HIP Ag, the Hawaii Institute of Pacific Agriculture, and the wonderful Dash and Erica, who have built that from the ground up. Just wonderful young folks doing really cutting-edge work in agriculture and teaching people how to be farmers. We've played a big, happy role with the Kohala Elementary School Discovery Garden, which has really taken off in the last few years, and a lot of key people in town see the deep value of that garden and how important it is for the children. So we've had a lot of fun building that. From almost day one, we have stood by and helped raise money and energy for Nani Svensson's beautiful Konea Okukui Garden Restoration Project, which is really perpetuating traditional Hawaiian gardening and a site that forever will be held sacred in our district. We helped the people get organized for the Hawi Farmers Market, their project. And I remember when they came to us in our little office at Luke's Place and said, we really want to make this stronger. And so we helped them build relationship with Surety and set up a really fair booth price and help them find insurance. And they stand on their own. I mean, we don't have to raise money. That's another example of a project that figured out how to be sustainable. But they stay under us in case they need funding down the line. I consider the Koki Coalition definitely an environmental and agricultural initiative. That is a powerhouse of a project. It is phenomenal. It's been a hard year or two with increased infestations. And a very important shout out to Kim Takata, who has led that project tirelessly as a volunteer, so near and dear to her heart as a nursery owner and manager. And we're still keeping kokis out. We are now talking with the state and the county about helping us keep kokis out, because we've demonstrated that we've done that on our own as a community. And we're the only community on the Big Island that has effectively been fighting kokis from day one. So I'm very proud of those folks. Sustainable Kohala, that great group of people. I think, Holly, you're a member. And Waste Stream, our Recycle Girls, and all that they've done to do teaching in the schools, to trying to keep the reuse center going, and just wonderful ladies, Karen Rosen, Kathy Morgan, Colleen Nevins. Again, these are all volunteers. That's why my job is so great. These people are amazing what they care about and what they do. We've also helped the Kohala High School Ag Program, and we helped them develop an aquaculture system that is a teaching model in the school. So there's just a really nice taste of some of our agricultural initiatives. I think that's all I wrote down. Oh, and last but not least, the North Kohala Eat Locally Grown Project started as the North Kohala Food Forum in the 2009, 2010, by Andrea Dean, and Bob Martin jumped in on that, and that morphed into the North Kohala Eat Locally Grown Project, which is now led by Leslie Nugent, just a star of an organizer, and she has single-handedly made it possible for us to have an EBT booth at the farmers market. So again, there's the synergy of projects coming together. We love working with Leslie, and she's going to be doing some great initiatives this year, including a North Kohala Farmers Directory.
Thank you, Christine. We'll be back in a minute with KNKRLP 96.1 FM Kohala. I'm Holly Allgood. You're listening to EcoTalk. Our topic today is the North Kohala Community Resource Center, and our special guest is Christine Richardson. Please call us at 884-KNKR or 884-5657 to ask Christine some questions or just make a comment.
Aloha na po e koala. Eia mako na kupuna o kohala hau kupila. Ke ia o kumusese suare e kipa KNKRLP 96.1 FM kohala. Mahalo anui loa no o ko lohe mai na au pau.
Aloha oi. Here is your Kamanuke Kai Au, presented by Na Ime Ike. In the evening, I almost always sit with my ohana for Aina Ahi Ahi. Sometimes we hop in the ka'a and go to the hale aina, but usually we eat at kau hale. I try to make ko'u makua hine, ame keiki aka aka. Ko'u manawa keia, your turn. Aina Ahi Ahi. Aina Ahi Ahi. Dinner. Ka'a. Ka'a. Car. Hale Aina. Hale Aina. Restaurant. Kau Hale. Kau Hale. Home. Ko'u makuahine ame keiki. Ko'u makuahine ame keiki. My wife and children. Aka aka. Aka aka. Laugh. For a review of today's lesson, please like us on Facebook at Kamanuke Kai Au. Po'o mai ka'i. This has been your Kamanuke Kai Au, presented by Na Ime Ike.
Aloha, North Kohala. You're listening to KNKR LP 96.1 FM Kohala. I'm Holly Allgood, and I'm sitting here with Christine Richardson, the Executive Director of the North Kohala Community Resource Center. We've heard a lot about the Resource Center projects, and now I'm wondering about the Welcome Center. One of the things that greets everyone as they drive into Javi, and I see it every day on my way home and away from home, is the Kohala Welcome Center. How did that get started?
Well, that's a great story. And the vision of the Welcome Center started with conversations with our Kohala Merchants Association. Parallel to those conversations, the Resource Center was starting to get too big for the little space that we had in Luke's Place. And at the time, Chris Helmuth was our president, and he was able to secure a lease at the old Fukata General Store, which is the building we're in now. So on January 1st, 2009, we moved in down there, and we quickly learned that we did not need all that space. And the merchants kept saying to us, the visitors in this town need two things, clean bathrooms and information. So Chris and I put our heads together with lots of different people and resources, and we spent about 2 years designing and building and raising all the money to build out the Kohala Welcome Center. It was a huge labor of love. I always say that it was a true test of friendship. Chris and I are still friends because I knew nothing about construction, and we did a lot of construction with the purposeful intention of never taking away from the originality of that space. Because the first day I opened the door, I happened to be with a museum curator who said to me, never underestimate the importance of community memory in this building, which goes on to this day. Elders come in and they say, I remember the blue jeans on that shelf. So the way we designed the Welcome Center is that we can actually open up the space to its original form. But we never do because we're so busy at the Welcome Center. In late 2010, I had raised close to $100,000 for all the materials, the installations, the cupboards, the e-pay deck, the bathrooms. And I said to Chris, I don't think I can raise any more money. I don't know how we're going to pay everybody to build this. And this is one of my favorite stories about the Welcome Center. He said, well, don't worry about that. Every carpenter, plumber, roofer, sheetrocker, every tradesman in Kohala stepped up and volunteered to build out that Welcome Center. And they did it on their days off on Saturdays. It took us about 6 months. And all they wanted was a big barbecue and a lot of beer at the end of it. It was the best party we ever had with those folks. They were incredible. And then the last and most beautiful aesthetic piece of the Welcome Center are the storyboard corridor with the history of Kohala in 8 panels, and then the beautiful signage on the building. So we were wondering, how are we ever going to do that? And a great friend of Chris Helmuth's, who'd moved to town, came in, and it just so happened that he has an amazing design firm on the mainland, and he helped us design and implement all those storyboards and signage as a donation to the community. So we wrapped it up with one more incredible piece of generosity from Messenger Corps, and shout out to Bill Davis for what he did to open the doors. We opened the doors in January of 2011, and we see about 20 to 25,000 people walk through the door every year with no marketing or no advertising, just the signage out front. And we man it with volunteers who are mostly semi-retired folks in town that love Kohala. They love to talk to people, and they work either 9 to 12 or 12 to 3, 5 days a week. So that core of volunteers is with us all the time, every day.
So it truly is a community resource center.
Yes.
Built by community resources as well as, mm-hmm. So it's wonderful to hear that not only is the center giving back in so many ways to the community, but so many people from the community have not only supported through funding, but through
Absolutely.
Their labor and personal contributions.
Absolutely. Yeah, I cannot acknowledge that enough or extend my gratitude enough. I mean, it's just a wonderful story. It's a perfect example of North Kohala and the volunteer steam that lives in this town.
What do visitors want to know most about our community?
Well, they break into about 3 categories. First and foremost, where's the bathroom? Then they run down and use, really, these beautiful bathrooms that have local artwork in them and ADA-sized space, and they all come out, and I'll be working at my desk in the back corner. I'll hear people say, those are the nicest bathrooms. And when you're traveling, you really appreciate that, and we keep those scrubbed clean all the time. And then they want to say, most of the time they say, where are we and what do we do here? More informed visitors will say, where's the statue and where's Pololu? Which, of course, right now is a big conversation in town about how to manage Pololu, that we're very sensitive to that and care very much about how that unfolds. And a really nice group of the people, they just want to talk story. And the storyboards give them this succinct little 5-minute history of the district they're in, which is so different than where they're staying, which is the big hotels and Kona. You know, it's just so different up here, and they're very appreciative.
For people who haven't visited the Welcome Center, can you tell us what they'll find there besides the beautiful storyboards?
Sure.
And the restrooms.
Yeah, okay. And the third thing they will find, thank you, is a retail corner. And we have really high quality t-shirts and hats that all say Historic Kohala on them. We sell a variety of Kohala-based books, including the Kindy Sprout storyteller, the oral history we did with Kindi before he passed away. And we have the beautiful book by Yama Chillingsworth, The Pictures of the Io the Hawk over Pololu. We also sell, in partnership with Surety, the Kohala Aina Coffee Table Book. And we have music. We produced a little CD of all the musicians of Kohala many years ago, and we still sell that CD. So that's fun. So people enjoy those sort of souvenirs and all of that income from both the sales and the retail corner, and then the donation safe. People leave donations because they're grateful for the information or the bathrooms. That brings in about $20,000 to $25,000 a year of income for the resource center. And so, as I explain that sometimes, the Welcome Center pays for the building. It pays for our infrastructure, our internet, our phone, and so that's a nice match that the building helps us pay for it. So, that's what else we have. And we have the greatest guides, the kindest, most loving people, just full of aloha.
And tell us again when it's open.
We're always open Monday through Friday from 9 to 4. And on Saturdays, we try to be open from about 9:30 to 1. But it's a little tougher to get volunteers on Saturday. Everybody wants to be home mowing their lawn and being home. So if anybody out there would like to be a guide on Saturday, give us a call. And on and off, the same thing with Sunday. So our sign says open Monday through Friday, weekends vary.
Now, Christine, I've heard a lot of people have walked through your doors with all kinds of ideas and suggestions, and that you've had over 170 projects. Are there any projects that you've been wishing someone would walk through the door to champion, but you haven't seen yet?
Probably once in a while. I can't think of anything off the top of my head, and I guess that's because a really important part of the Resource Center that I want people to understand is that we do not create the projects. We do not bring them to the community. We are just an incubator, a pass-through, and we really trust that if there's a big need in this community, someone's going to come in and tell us, so that we believe our projects grow really from the grassroots and not from what a small group of directors and staff say, well, we need this or we need that. I mean, as a citizen, there are things I would like to see, but I try to keep that role separate than my role as the ED at the Resource Center.
Well, that's admirable. I'm glad to hear that. I know I'm sitting here thinking of quite a few myself.
Well, come down and talk to us.
Yes, all right, I will. I will. When I have energy to do that, that's
sure.
True. Okay, so how can our listeners learn more about the organization?
Oh, that's great. You can go to our website, northkohala.org. We just spent last year really cleaning up the site. It had a lot of pages and a lot of redundancy, and so we've made it a lot simpler. And you can learn about just about everything we've talked about today on our website, northkohala.org. You can also come on down and talk to us. We do send out a newsletter twice a year to every P.O. box in Kohala and then to hundreds of friends of the Resource Center throughout the islands and on the mainland. So you can read our newsletter. But again, I think the two best ways are to come on in and talk story with us or go to our website.
We're here talking with Christine Richardson from the North Kohala Community Resource Center. You're listening to KNKR LP 96.1 FM Kohala. We're still waiting for calls. If anyone has any questions or comments, you can call us at 884-KNKR or 884-5657.
Tune in to Women's Voices and hear sensational songs.
I am woman, hear me roar.
And spoken word.
I'm a woman. Phenomenally.
By female artists in Kohala. And around the world. Please join me, Isla Allgood, for a voluptuous voyage of various genres, Hawaiian, blues, pop, country, soul, and more each Monday and Wednesday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on KNKR 96.1 FM or stream on knkr.org.
Aloha, I'm Maria Lineker, licensed trainer provider for the American Red Cross, which celebrates 100 years of water safety. These are general water safety tips. The best thing anyone can do to stay safe in, on, and around the water is to learn to swim. The American Red Cross has swimming courses for people of any age and swimming ability. To enroll in a swimming course, contact your local Red Cross chapter. Follow these general water safety tips whenever swimming in bodies of water. Pools, lakes, ponds, quarries, canals, rivers, or oceans. Always swim with a buddy. Never swim alone. Read and obey all rules and posted signs. Swim in areas that are supervised by a lifeguard. Children or inexperienced swimmers should take extra precautions, such as wearing U.S. Coast Guard-approved life jacket when around the water. Watch out for the dangerous twos. Too tired, too cold, too far from safety, too much sun, too much strenuous activity. Set water safety rules for your family based on swimming abilities. For example, inexperienced swimmers should stay in water less than chest deep. Be knowledgeable of the water environment you are in and its potential hazards, such as deep and shallow areas, currents, depth changes, obstructions, and where the entry and exit points are located. The more informed you are, the more aware you will be of hazards and safe practices. Know how to prevent, recognize, and respond to emergencies. Use a feet-first entry when entering the water. Enter head-first only when the area is clearly marked for diving and has no obstructions. Do not mix alcohol with swimming, diving, or boating. Alcohol impairs judgment, balance, and coordination, affects your swimming and diving skills, and reduces your body's ability to stay warm. For more information, go to redcross.org.
This is Holly Allgood on Eco Talk. You're listening to KNKR LP 96.1 FM Kohala. I'm here today talking with Christine Richardson about the North Kohala Community Resource Center. Christine, one of the things that you mentioned briefly was that you do training for people who want to put forth projects. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Oh, I'd be happy to. It's actually a big platform of the work that we do. And twice a year since we began, we offer a workshop series, and it's four modules. And it starts with building budgets. We didn't used to do that, but we found that's a really important part of helping people plan. So we start with about an hour or 2 hour building budget class. Then we go on to the second class, which is finding funders. And we really talk to people about all the different ways you can fund a project through grants, donors, events, fundraising, bake sales, car washes, the whole gamut of everything it takes to fund a project. And every project is funded differently. Everyone has their own menu. And then the big class, which now Megan leads, is called Writing Successful Proposals. And that's a whole morning, 3 to 4 hours on a Saturday at our office. And we teach people how to write a 6-page proposal that will go to funders for grant money. It also helps people map out their project in 6 very succinct sections: your organization, the need of the project, your goals, your methods, and how you're going to fund the project. It's really a thoughtful exercise in being successful. In the early days, when Bob taught a lot of these classes, there were 10 and 12 people per class. Now we average about 4 to 6, because we sort of reached a plateau where there isn't as much volume rolling in like there used to be in the sort of 2006 to 2010 period. These classes are wonderful. They're also available to other nonprofits on the island, and we've had many nonprofits come to our training to make their proposals stronger. We base it on the Grantsmanship Center model out of Los Angeles, and it's a really simple, distilled version of how to plan successfully. So that is a really important question. I thank you for asking for that.
Well, can you tell us how often do those classes happen, and are they regularly scheduled?
Yes, they are. We're having a spring session, and we usually have a fall session, so twice a year. But we also will do individual classes all year round. a lot of times we're sitting one-on-one with people and building their budgets or making a fund development strategy. But when we do it in a classroom form, we don't have our spring dates, but we have three students who are trying to coordinate their dates. So we used to just set firm dates. Now we're a lot more flexible around how we can best serve the students.
Is this something that people could find out more on your website, or should people call or drop by if they want to know more?
Yeah. They should definitely call us or come by, because we're just getting those dates together now for next month.
The other thing, Christine, I'm hoping you'll tell us about is, do you have any plans for this year for special funding or benefits?
You know, we're not going to have a big event this year because we had one last year, and it's a lot of work, and it's a lot of asking the community to help us. And everybody has a great time at our events. There are lots of fun. But we tend to do the big event every other year. So, in fact, the event was so big last year we didn't do our online auction, because we don't want to ask the community for too much. We are keenly aware of donor fatigue, and we want to respect that because this is such a generous community. But we will be doing our online auction in April, and we'll be getting the word out about that, and that'll be lots of fun.
How many items are usually in the auction, and where do they come from?
They come from all of North Kohala and the Gold Coast, all the hotels, all the eco trips, over 100. And family members bring in artwork and lamps, and it's the most eclectic online auction, I think, on the Big Island.
So
it's really fun.
If some of our listeners either want to donate for that auction or participate in that auction, how could they do that?
Give us a call, 889-5523.
And it sounds like you will accept the smallest gift to the largest gift.
Absolutely.
So if someone has something that they think is of value at home, even if it's used, is that something you'd be willing to take?
Yeah, we'll be honest if it's a little too used, but we're pretty good at assessing whether or not it'll be someone else's treasure. And then the other important thing that was really important to me to share with the community is that last week we celebrated our 15th birthday as an organization serving North Kohala. That is a big deal for us. And so we are in the very early stages of talking about having a birthday party in town, because we're celebrating all year as we've marked our 15th year. So we don't have any details on that yet, but the board is definitely thinking about some way to acknowledge our milestone.
Well, that's a major milestone for any organization to hit 15 years, and it sounds like you've been there almost all of them.
I've been with the organization for 14 years.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if anyone has any birthday celebration ideas, that's another thing you can do to drop by. So, Christine, you've been very eloquent and told us an awful lot about the station today. Is there anything else to say?
Mahalo. Mahalo nui loa. Thank you, North Kohala. We wouldn't exist without you, with your spirit of volunteerism and your spirit of generosity and caring about all facets of our lives, keeping Kohala, Kohala, agricultural, caring about our children in the school, keeping us koki free, all of that. But it's a job, and it's an organization that says thank you every single day.
Well, Christine, you have a very impressive story. It sounds like you and the organization have done a tremendous job for North Kohala, and North Kohala has done a tremendous job for you. So it sounds like a big mahalo nui loa is to you, to your staff, and to the entire community. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
I want to remind everyone to write in your feedback at the KNKR website at www.knkr.org/feedback. Let me know what you thought about today's show and what eco-friendly topics you want to hear more about and who you'd like to have as future guests. Following our Eco Talk show today, listen to Panay Music with Annalisa Markham and Carmela Rich, our only bilingual radio show here on KNKR. This is Holly Allgood saying aloha until next week. Aloha.